Ohio. You may be normal when you come here, but you won't be when you leave. Amen and amen.
James 3.
We're going to attempt to go from Isaiah 2:6.
Isaiah 2:6.
Well, let's be down to verse 11. So, if you would.
Isaiah 2:6.
Johnny, if you would, wouldn't mind opening up our session with the word of prayer and ask the Lord's enlightenment on his word.
Okay. Dear Lord, thank you for continuing to give us freedom to come here and just freedom in general. The enemy is currently trying really hard to take that away. So pray to bless the Bible study here. Help us to learn things from your word that'll, you know, just help to grow faith and help us be stronger to stand for you in the future. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. All right, well, let's take a look at Isaiah chapter 2. Let's go to at least 6 to 11 and see what the Lord has in store for us. I'll start with even, and I'll let you guys read the odd.
Yep.
All right, starting with verse 6. Therefore, thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east, and are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they please themselves in the children of strangers.
Their land also is full of silver and gold, neither is there any end of their treasures. Their land is also full of horses, neither is there any end of their chariots.
The land also was full of idols. They worshipped the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made.
And the mean man boweth down, and the great man humbleth himself. Therefore forgive them not.
Enter into the rock, and hide thee in the dust, for fear of the Lord, and for the glory of his majesty.
The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of man shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
As we get into these verses, we need to backtrack on one verse, like a needle and thread, to sew it all together. In verse 5, O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. If you remember Jacob, when he wrestled with the angel, the Lord changed his name from Jacob to Israel. Israel basically means a prince that has power. When you look at Jacob, it means supplanter. And so the Lord changed his name here. Just like us when we got saved. We were the sons of Satan, and God changed our names to the sons of God. Johnny.
And so I just realized, you know, as you talked to us about this recently, if that doesn't say that God says names mean something,
yes,
then nothing will.
Then nothing will. So when we take a look at this verse 5, O house of Jacob, first thing that ought to tell you is the house of Jacob is in the flesh nature. They're in the flesh, and God is calling them out of the flesh to walk in the light. Come ye. And come is God's favorite word. Come. Come. Study it. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I think in Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The word come is all the way through there. It's also in the last chapter of Revelation where the Spirit calls us to come. Come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. There's two verses we just want to be reminded of. One is in Psalm 119:130. This is a great, great verse. Who has Psalm 119, verse 130? 119:130.
The entrance of the,
no, yeah.
You can read it, Doug.
Yeah, Doug, go ahead.
The entrance of the words giveth the light, it giveth understanding unto the simple.
Amen and amen. Yeah. Regardless of what your walk is like, if you're in darkness, it says the entrance of thy word giveth light. Any area of your life where you have darkness, where you don't understand something, get in the book. You can't walk in the light if you're not in the book. You have to be in the book. And if you know nothing at all, it's okay. Spend time in the book. The Lord will talk to you. The Lord is light. In John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He will give you light. And where's the light going to come from? Right here out of the book. The other thing we need to look at then is Psalm 27:1. Who has Psalm 27:1?
Read
that.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I can do that one. Okay. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
Amen. Now you notice the Lord is my light and he's my salvation. If you're going to walk in the light of the Lord, you have to walk according to this book, and it brings salvation. The Lord's my light and he's my salvation. My salvation. There's no way to walk in the light and not have the salvation of the Lord. No way at all. And I'm going to share one little thing with you, and then we'll move on and really have some fun here. In the book of John, chapter 8, and I hear this all the time. Let's see. Verse 32 says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That's all they quote on that verse. In my word. What's the word? Light. If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth is the word of God. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Right? There you have it. That is verse 5 in the James. So let's take a look now at verse 6.
John, real quick, before we move on, I actually have seen a post on social media. And of course, I don't know that it's actually in a new version even. But this post said, "And ye shall know your truth, and your truth shall set you free." Your truth being, you know, whatever's true for you.
Yeah, exactly.
May not be for me, but it's your truth.
Hands. That point. It's better to be on this side of truth with the Lord than on the other side. Johnny.
Saying it like that, isn't that essentially a contradiction in terms?
In reality.
Your truth. Yeah.
But that's what you hear people all the time. Find your truth. That's a big thing people say. Find your truth instead of finding the truth.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, just like that person that was at the Capital University saying saying that Moses did not write the first 5 books. And when the evidence was presented, the truth, they said, well, that was just his opinion. Didn't set them free. Sorry, did not set them free. You have to walk in the light, you have to believe on the Lord.
Amen.
And when you walk in the light, he'll show you more light.
Right.
It's just the way it goes. It's an uncanny book. So in verse 6, he's already told them to walk in the light, but they're not going to. They're rebellious. They're not going to believe on the Lord. Look at verse 6. "Therefore, thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east and are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they please themselves and the children of strangers." All right, 3 reasons why God has forsaken the house of Jacob. First of all, it says, replenished from the east. So if we go to the first mention of replenish, let's take a look at Genesis 1:28, so you know what the word replenish means. And then if someone else could get Genesis 9:1. And then Acts 16:6. You've got it? Okay.
And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth. And subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth.
Amen. Amen. Replenish, to put back that which was taken away. Who's got 9:1? 9:1 is dealing with Noah. The earth had just got wiped out with the flood.
I have it.
Go ahead.
And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. And be
dealing with the Apostle Paul. Who has Acts 16:6?
Oh, I get it here in a minute.
16:6. Now, when they had gone throughout, what is that, Phyra?
Phrygia.
Phrygia, into the region of Galilee and
Galatia.
Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia.
You noticed in there, the Holy Spirit forbid Paul to go east. Something wrong with the east. I didn't find out till I collect books on martyrs. And I've got different ones. I've got one from the Amish and one from Fox Book of Martyrs and a couple other ones. And I read them very slowly. I don't go past 15 minutes because it's so gut-wrenching of how Christians have been treated for the last 2,000 years. But I read about the martyrs of Christ's disciples. And at that time, the 10 or 11 before Paul, they went east and they went south, and every single one of them was martyred. Now, what is wrong with the east? We're looking at 2,000 years later, there's something wrong with the east. There's something drastically wrong. We know first and foremost, it's connected with drugs. There are drugs all over the place. Okay? It's connected with trafficking, right? And who knows what else is out there in the east. And so God's looking at his people here, and he says, you've been replenished from the east. So what came in? Strangers from the east came in and changed the culture. What's happening with America right now? Strangers are coming in, and instead of adapting to be Americans, they're bypassing that, and they're bringing in something else, big time. All right? That is something you've got to see and something to understand. Something wrong with the east.
It's also related to not just what comes in, but the very fact that they looked east instead of looking north.
Correct.
And it's an amazing thing. We've been reading in our Bible calendar in 2 Chronicles, and Asa, you know, was such a great king for almost four decades.
Yeah.
And then right at the end, when he gets scared off about, Ben-Hadad, and Baasha, the king of Israel, was coming down on him, and instead of turning to the Lord who delivered him everything, he looks east to Syria.
Yeah.
And then so the Hanani, the little known prophet, you know, shows up and says, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thy hand. And he's going to punish him, not because of what he did, but really what he didn't do.
Yeah.
And he wasn't looking to the Lord.
Amen.
And that's why he killed King Saul. King Saul sought to the witch of Endor.
Yeah.
And forsook the word of the Lord.
Totally.
Over and over, that's what happens in that.
Over and over.
It's an amazing thing.
Yeah.
And look at America, where does everything come from? The East. It comes from China. Everything's coming in from China.
Yeah.
They've actually got our grid set up so they can go in through a backdoor. In the software, there's a back door that they can shut our grid down anytime we want to.
Yeah. I think under Clinton, he gave them one of the seaports in San Diego, which means they can bring anything in they want.
They have been, yeah.
Yeah, they're involved in so many things, Doug.
Before my eyes screwed up and stuff like that, my corneas and stuff, I was thinking years ago about taking karate or something like that, you know, one of those. And I looked at it and stuff like that, and a lot of those guys are into that Eastern kind of religion and stuff like that.
Yeah, cults.
Yeah. I want to get involved.
False gods, everything. Yeah.
The whole New Age movement is Eastern mysticism.
So it is some weird stuff. I mean, I don't want to get caught up in that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember that. Remember the Moonies?
Oh yeah.
I think I saw the guy when he came through Columbus.
Sun Young Moon.
Yeah. They had a big thing going on. The place I worked at, the Sun Young Moon guy came in and sold some flowers or something to the boss, and when I told him that was a cult, he went back and gave him the flowers back and got the money back. Johnny.
So I'm wondering if part of the problem with the East and the religious stuff about it, I wonder if it could be that, like, it's another excellent counterfeit. In other words, it's the kind of thing that, you know, it's a more effective counterfeit where it's extremely hard to let it go once you get into it.
Yeah, get sucked into it.
Yeah.
Perhaps. That's just an idea there.
Yeah. Well, I would tell you this, Jenny.
Well, think about it. Like with exercise programs, you know, they have all this yoga now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's yoga is just like another form of mind control because they expect you to do meditation and all these weird movements on a mat and everything. And it's just another form of mind control, just like we're dealing with our government right now.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. It's once the Lord starts opening up the light that you have, it will just increase and increase more as you walk with Him, and He'll show you things, and He'll share with you what you need to know and what you can do.
Isn't it
to serve Him in that area?
Isn't it that therefore meditation is probably the opposite of real meditation?
Yes. We're supposed to meditate on the Word of God and this transcendental meditation.
Yeah, that was the term they used.
The first thing you're told, empty your mind.
Yeah.
That's not what we're ever supposed to do. We're supposed to fill our mind.
Clear your mind, and we'll put all the stuff that we want to put in there for you.
Yeah, God designed our minds to be active, not passive. And what happens is when you become passive through that type of meditation, that's when Satan's realm opens up. And then you're suckered in.
Give your mind so you can become like Biden.
I don't know if he's active or passive. Flip the quarter and find out.
Come on, man.
All right.
It's the next part. We'll be able to see what your root position is today.
Okay, the next part of the verse. And our soothsayers like the Philistines. How about that? One of my dictionaries said, I looked up the word soothsayer and wasn't even in the dictionary.
Wow.
I was surprised. So I had to go back to my Webster 1828 because the word soothsayer basically means to foretell future events without inspiration.
Which is related to what you brought up with from the East, though, the drugs.
The drugs, yeah.
Goes hand in hand.
Yeah, Satanism. So you can see the handprint all the way through it. And I guess in my dumbness, I didn't realize, but in Joshua 13:22, Balaam was a soothsayer. And yet he had access to talk to the Lord through the sacrifices. And did he continue in the truth? Nope. Another one. He had the light, and did not walk in the light. We need to be careful because we have the light. And guys, if we spend too much time in darkness, because we have that proneness still there, but if we spend more time in darkness than we do in the light, there comes a time when we're going to have guilt and we're going to end up rejecting the light. And we'll be like Asa. He had the light and then he rejected the light. What happened? Zap. And then we take a look at let's take a look at 1 Kings 22 verses, I put down 1 through 7. I don't know if we need all of them, but that's the last chapter. 1 Kings 22. In fact, I'll go ahead and do that one plain. Get it up here. Let's see. Okay, 1 Kings chapter 22 verses 1 through 7.
22.
Yeah. 1 Kings 22. 7 verses. And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. Notice that time they're split. Why? Because the light of God's word. They weren't working in the light of God's word. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria? And he said unto Jehoshaphat, wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. How about that? Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? Now notice what Jehoshaphat asked the first time. When he asked the first time about the word of the Lord, they brought in all these Baal prophets, 400 of them. And what did these guys do? They were soothsayers. Yes, go ahead. Go on ahead and you'll have victory. That is soothsaying.
Power of positive thinking.
Power of positive thinking. There you go. And of course, they did not follow the one man. And you know, that's the way it is with Christianity. I know what I heard when I was growing up young in the Lord that Christians are narrow-minded. But if you check the gate, narrow is the gate. It's for one person only. We are to be narrow.
Amen.
Jesus is the only way for salvation. And here, 400 to 1, and the 400 lost. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. They did not walk in the light of the Lord, and they were totally defeated. And then let's take a look at the last phrase here. Isaiah 2:6. And they pleased themselves in the children of strangers. Now, this is me. If you want to have your own interpretation, that's fine. To me, that sounds like pedophiles. They want to please themselves with strangers, the children of strangers. I would be a bit surprised if that didn't have anything to do with being a pedophile. All right? If you take a look at what's going on in America, what's happening here? Strangers look at us as being strangers, and they're swiping the kids and taking off with them. I know in the last, I think maybe the last year, they caught a whole bunch of them in Hilliard, and they shut that one down. All right? And if it's true, out of the top four cities that are done with trafficking with children, Columbus and Toledo of Ohio are two out of the four. I've not researched it yet to find out who the other two are, but I'm ashamed of Ohio.
John, I'm not saying you're wrong, but I want to add this.
Oh, absolutely.
The word strangers here is foreigners.
Correct.
And just like you're, what you're talking about is this trafficking in America, like what happened in Israel, was what's going on here is they're bringing in these underage kids from Mexico.
Oh, true. Yeah.
And other, and that's where a lot of the sex trafficking is underage kids.
Yeah.
Biden and his people are bringing in on purpose into this country.
Yeah.
You better believe that this is all about cheap labor and sex.
Yeah.
That's the two main reasons Biden has the borders open.
I did think about that while I was preparing the notes. My wife and I did watch Pizzagate. Mm-hmm. I have no doubt whatsoever, no doubt of what transpired there. And that's probably just the tip of the iceberg. And for the fact that they shut it down, I don't think it shut down.
Well, and I'll just say this for the sake of anybody that doesn't know what the news media portrayed as Pizzagate isn't the real thing.
Correct.
They reported a big hoax.
Yes.
To try to get everybody to stop talking about it.
Yeah.
But there's a real thing behind Pizzagate that the news media, because they're a bunch of paid news.
And they're part of it. Well, it's just like one of my favorite Sherlock Holmes stories is called Silver Blaze. And he was called to investigate a horse that was stolen before race day. And of course, they asked him if he found any clothes in the barn where the horse was kept. And he said, no, he didn't find any clothes, but he found a curious incident. And they said, well, what was that? He said, the dog didn't bark. The dog knew who took the horse. Okay, news media knows what's going on. They are silent dogs. When they ought to be barking, they're about as silent as could be. And if you think this is new stuff, I have a book dated 1880, written by a preacher from the Boston area. And he was horrified because the Boston newspapers in 1880 was covering up the vice in Boston, covering it up. If it was happening in 1880 in Boston, what in the world is happening today?
Some of the news media don't know. They're just script readers.
Correct.
But then what happens is, like Cheryl Atkinson is somebody you can look up online. She worked for CBS. When she found out the truth, tried to report it.
Yeah, gone.
And there's a bunch of reporters. There's one now running for Congress out in Arizona. A lady who, she resigned because she said, once she realized what was going on, the news media is a total farce. And so she resigned as a news reporter. Now she's running for Congress.
Yeah. But during Clinton's first administration, there was a guy called Stephen Foster, which was one of the Arkansas lawyers. And of course, he did not commit suicide. He was assassinated. And a reporter in Pittsburgh got the evidence. And his newspaper fired him. Now, he published the book on it, so I was surprised on that. But when he found out the truth, he was canned. He was canned. You can't print the truth in today's newspapers. You just can't. And that's why the newspapers are getting thinner and thinner and thinner, because they're not putting the real news in it.
And when there's 300 million people in this country and only about 500,000 even bought the book, how many of them even read it?
Correct.
So that's why they let him publish a book.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of corruption, guys. I'm sorry there's that much corruption in America. It's the older I get, the deeper it gets, and it affects all of us.
That's exactly what we're talking about here.
We have the Word of God, and we have prayer. It's what we need to stick into. And then I was going to take one note when it talked about the strangers again in Isaiah 1:7. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers.
Antifa.
Again, going right back, yeah. That sounded like today's headlines, especially from last summer.
Yeah.
Okay, verse 7. The land also is full of silver and gold. Neither is there any end of their treasures. Their land is also full of horses. Neither is there any end of their chariots. All right. Notice there, full of silver and gold. Let's take a look at Proverbs, verse 30, and we'll go with at least five.
What chapter?
Chapter 30. And let's go with verse 5 down to verse 9.
All right.
Okay.
Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee, and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain.
How about that? Now the reason we still in verse 5. Again, house of Jacob, walk in the light of the Lord. Walk in my word. And what does Solomon say in here by walking in God's word? When you trust the Lord, you're not going to starve, and you're not going to steal. And again, he says here, yeah, lest I be full and deny thee.
He wants to be middle class. He doesn't want poverty or riches.
Correct. So, here in verse 6, or verse 7 of Isaiah, gold and silver. What can you tell about this group that God is reproving? They're filthy rich, and they don't care about God's word.
That's right.
Not one bit.
And he talks about the horses and the chariots, like they're military.
Yeah.
Like we've got the strongest military in the world, but we're going to hell in a handbasket.
Very quick, unfortunately. So that's where that takes us. Let's take a look at 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 12. Here's got 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 12.
How would you have it?
First Timothy 6, 6 through 12.
Okay. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich fall into temptations and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness.
Amen. Follow the word of God. When you get mixed up with the love of money, the silver, and the gold, you're going down the wrong tubes. Headed straight for hell. I'm going to hit a couple of quick verses for you before we go to the next verse. In Genesis 47:15, with the theme about money, silver, and gold. And when money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came unto Joseph and said, give us bread, for why should we die in thy presence? For the money faileth. Guys, gold and silver is going to fail. I know quite a few people that are really rich, and you know what? If they trusted the silver and the gold, I hate to tell you, but money fails. We find in Proverbs 11:4, riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. Money cannot save you. There are some people that get saved, they come to the church twice, and they throw the money in the till, thinking that that's enough for me. And guys, that's not salvation.
Right.
Coming to church twice in the year and putting money in the offering plate. There are some people that don't attend church at all, but they send their money anyway. Guys, that's not salvation. That is not salvation whatsoever. But money fails. And then two quick notes for you are 1 Corinthians 13:8, charity never faileth. And what is charity? It's the love of God in action. It does not fail. And that's what we need to focus on, is walking in God's word, walking in his light with his love. And Christ says, as I have loved you, love one another. So even the most ungodly person you can't love, the Lord can give you the love to give to that person. Let's take a look at verse 8. And then if someone could find Psalm 115 and 1 through 9. In verse 8, the land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. So when these people get a ton of money, and something else about silver and gold, while someone is turning there to Psalm 115, 1 through 9. In Joe Biden's office is an executive order that Kennedy put in there in February of 1962. And all he has to do is put his signature on it, and all the silver and gold and the rest of the metal in America belongs to the U.S. government. So I don't know how much silver and gold you have stored away, but once he signs that, you're now a criminal if you don't give it to him. That's coming, guys.
It happened under FDR for sure.
Yeah.
It's
ready to, all I have to assign that, and it's bye-bye. Bye-bye. Christ said, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Yes. All right, who's got Psalm 115, 1 through 9?
Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them.
I love that.
Yeah.
Bam.
And God doesn't put the word bam after that.
It's implied.
Yeah, it's implied.
It's in the Greek.
Amen. It's in the originals.
Yes.
Yeah. But guys, that people have statues everywhere.
Yeah.
Every place you go, there's some form of statues. This one Catholic church I went to, they actually had a statue of Mary, and they would come over and pray to it during the service.
They do that all the time.
I hear down the road you see people cross themselves praying to Mary.
You got somebody.
And then they have these groves. They have these groves outside their house with a little statue and little plants around it. One time I went to see a guy up at a Holy Hill Cathedral in Delaware, and on the side was statue of Jesus on one side and statue of Mary on the other side. All right? I didn't go there on purpose. I went there because someone else wanted to go see what it was like. The guy was just getting out of jail because he set some house on fire someplace. So I was in the audience, and they had the cameras pan through, you know, the TV cameras, and I went like this. But I saw you on the brighter side there. I got a chance to witness to four people outside of the parking lot I got a chance to do the Lord. So that for me was a blessing.
People ask, you know, what's the difference? You have pictures and stuff. There's nothing wrong with a statue. But a statue is art until you begin to use it in worship.
Yeah.
And that's what becomes an idol. Right. That's the difference. Do you want a little, you know, they have these little yard things out there and whatever you call them. And, you know, I don't see anybody walking out there bowing down and burning incense, praying, doing all that. But if they did, then that's when it becomes a sin.
Exactly. Johnny.
And that's why when God told them how to make the tabernacle, he literally had them make statues, in effect.
Yeah.
I guess. Cherubim. At least on the ark.
Right.
And that wasn't, but those weren't idols there.
Correct. Well, we'll finish off here with the Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 through 6. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity. Now notice what it's telling you about idols, guys. It's connected with moral impurity. That's why they're worshiping the idols, so they don't have guilt. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. And we're in a generation right now where people are hating God left and right. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. As we started off in our study, walk in the light. Walk in the light. And what is light? The word of God and salvation. Walk in the light. And so God, in these verses that we just went through up to verse 8, just shared with you that they weren't walking in the light of God's word. So great study. And then as you study the word of God, keep the Ten Commandments in mind. They show up throughout the whole book from start to finish. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Jennifer, how about close this out, sweetheart?
All right, well, dear God, thank you for this wonderful day that we all got to come and be together. And thank you for the Bible study from Isaiah here. Please help it to stick in our minds throughout the day and maybe even help us to apply it to the sermon that's coming up. Please bless Jessica and Mark's wedding here in a bit. And also my family's trip. Please keep us safe as we head out today. In your name I pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
All right, onliners, see you in a short bit.